T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I have a texter coming to my defense on the World Cup, by the way. Had a little too much of Richmond's bragging. Texter says, Richmond continues to talk up his World Cup pick, but in reality, Greg, your choice gave France the better game and soundly defeated England. Belgium was the second best team. Boom! Goes the dynamite.
Do you have a, I mean...
we've got a little fanboy over here.
No,
for
I'm wondering if
G-Mac,
you have a retort.
Huh?
If you're going to come back, you're going to take that? Don't take that.
No, do I even need to take that? Because...
Just say scoreboard.
Exactly.
Okay. Scoreboard.
Is it about...
Scoreboard.
Who has the better pick or...
Who finished
higher? Who finished at a had a better game? Come on now.
Nah, right. I can't allow you to insult
That's them. Like saying the Western Conference championship last year in the NBA was the actual championship.
Well, it was.
You can say that this year. With Golden State.
I meant this year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Same results. Both.
It was. It's basically the same, so it doesn't matter.
Three questions at three time now in the huddle. Have some NFL, have some college football, have some NBA. On three questions for Friday afternoon, Lonzo, number one, please.
All right, in the NBA, who comes out ahead in the OKC Hawks trade?
They get Carmelo Anthony. Big time star to the Hawks for a couple of minutes.
This would have been a great trade for the Atlanta Hawks about 6 years ago. Now, not so much. And that's why they waived him, because everybody knows that Carmelo Anthony has really... past his prime, and based on the Hawks trying to rebuild, he was not going to fit into that equation. I understand he's a veteran and he may be able to bring some leadership, you know, to the locker room, so to speak, and obviously a lot of experience, but not for the Hawks when they're trying to rebuild. So in my eyes, the Hawks got the better end of this deal, just in terms of they weren't going to get any better with Schroeder. There was already, you know, reports of how there was they had fights amongst Schroeder and management and even the coaching staff, and who knows how the new coach was going to come in and what that was going to look like. So they get rid of him and they get a draft pick. Now it's protected, so it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a great draft pick, but it's, you know, 1 through 14 that's protected. But still, they get a draft pick out of it, and they're going to bank on Trae Young and see what that looks like.
All right. Lonzo, what do you think?
I think OKC gets the better of the trade because they're still OKC and the Hawks still suck. And I'm sorry. I mean, there was a few years ago, Atlanta was actually competing, and then they decided, let's get rid of this guy, let's get rid of this guy, and now they've gotten rid of somebody else. I know you're saying that they're going to rebuild. How long will that take?
That could take 3 or 4 years.
It may take longer than that with as bad as they've gotten. So I think OKC gets rid of a headache, and I think they get better. I think they get the better of the deal.
I agree with you. I like OKC on this. Schroeder's a young guy. He's 24 years old. I mean, he's the best player that's still going to be hanging around anywhere out of this deal. Who knows what the draft pick will be. The other thing the Hawks get is they don't have to look at that weird-looking hair thing.
It is weird, but I think it's
a
like
an orange spot on this.
It's a birth thing, I think.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they don't have to try to spell his name with the two little dots over the O. Can you make your computer do that? Type an O with two little dots over it?
Yeah, I figured out how to do it, but I can't remember. I'd have to go look it up again to be able to do that. But I did figure out how to do that. There's some special key that you hit at the same time that allows you to do that. But Schroeder's a guy that he's known across the league that he's not easy to get along with.
Yeah.
So I guess he would fit perfectly right in OKC with Russell Westbrook.
Everybody gets along with Russell.
They know how to, you know, interact with Russell Westbrook. So
you think they'll fight? I think Schroeder and Westbrook can
fight.
You
mean actually physically or you mean verbally?
Yeah.
Both, yeah. Right? Just yes in general.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Schroeder likes to shoot. I mean, the guy's like he's 19 points a game last year.
Yeah, he's just not a great shooter.
I know, but he's going to shoot. But he's going to want to anyway.
Well, guess who else wants to shoot on that team? And we know Russell Westbrook's going to be shooting.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. The Hawks are rebuilt, so I guess it doesn't matter for them. Maybe they get something with that draft pick down the road, but they're just irrelevant for the foreseeable future in Atlanta, unfortunately.
And we're going to see several teams going through this same type of thing. This
All
rebuilding.
Right. Let's go on to question number two, Lonzo.
All right, where is the SEC media wrong in their predicted order of finish in the East and West? I really wanted to come up with a really good answer, but what if you just don't think they're wrong?
You like it?
Yeah, I'm good with it. Every once in a while they get it right. I think they may have gotten it right this time.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything out of whack, it'd be like the bottom couple maybe, but I think the top's probably going to finish the way they think.
All right, Richmond, see any problems?
Not any glaring problems. I mean, I guess you could question in terms of the West. I mean, they're giving Jimbo Fisher no credit.
Fourth.
I could see maybe a third.
Were you ahead of Mississippi State?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
Mississippi State, where's all this that the Mississippi State is going to be?
Nick Fitzgerald. It's a good quarterback.
Yeah, but the rest of their team is, they're not a team that I just don't see them finishing in the top three. Just don't see it.
Really?
I don't.
I think Mississippi State might finish ahead of Auburn behind Alabama in the West. That might be what I would change. And I think there's a chance that Arkansas will finish ahead of Ole Miss. That's at the bottom. It won't matter to anybody. In Chad, we trust.
No, it definitely won't matter. In the East, that looks... I don't see anything really changing there.
Could Missouri finish ahead of Florida for third?
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Could Tennessee surpass Kentucky?
I don't think so.
Pruitt's first year? Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. So, yeah, it's pretty good. It wasn't a bad job. Except for the one guy who said Missouri is going to win the conference winning the East.
That's right.
That guy should be publicly shamed. If we can only find out who he is. All right, final question, Lonzo.
Is the freeze on anthem protest penalties agreed to by the NFL and the Players Association a good idea?
Yeah, they had to do that. Thank you, Miami Dolphins, for forcing them. I don't understand what the play was before last night. The play was to wait and see what happened. Did they not know they were going to have to deal with this some way? I don't get it. So they finally came in and put the freeze on it. Now, but, you know, I'll be fascinated to see what they come up with over the next few weeks. It's July 20th, and the NFL hasn't figured out what they're going to do this fall. Basically, they're saying you can stay in the locker room if you don't want to come out, but if you come out, you have to stand. Are they going to start flying around penalties? It's not going to be a good look for them if that happens. So I think they did what they had to do by freezing the penalties. I don't know why Miami really felt obligated to do what they were doing. Nobody else felt that obligation to announce that they were going to suspend people for four games. There's no choice for the NFL. This is one time they got the Players Association and the league together, and they acted quickly and did the right thing. What do you think?
Agreed. It's about time. At least they did take some type of action, and that's what doesn't seem to be happening in the past, is that they would take some type of action. It was just more of, all right, we're going to do something without having a lot of communication with the Players Association. And that was one of the things that made the Players Association so mad, is that when Roger Goodell announced this and the NFL announced this, that they didn't even really know that this was coming down the way it did. And so this should have been done a long time ago, that they should have been talking about this. And then we could have been at a point right now where they might have had an agreed policy for each perspective team, and then it could have been actually put in the player's handbook.
All right, Lonzo.
I disagree. And here's the reason why. Man, look at the skies on. Anyway, I disagree because somebody's not going to be happy in this. The NFL needs to come up with a rule like they did and then stick to it. And you're going to get people on one side that's going to be happy with it. You're going to get people on the other side that's going to be ticked off, but you know what? There's a rule. Here's the rule. Here's the penalty. Here's what happens if you don't do it. If you don't like it, when the contracts come up again, fix it in negotiations. But instead, you bring it to a standstill. The freeze, what's it do? It doesn't do anything. So it's still up in the air. We have no idea what's going to go on. Just make a rule and stick to it.
Well, it wasn't a consistent rule. They're going to leave it to teams. You okay with that? Individual teams doing what they want? As far as the penalty, I know the rule was going to be, yeah, stay in the locker room or stand. But as far as the penalty, you had to file that paperwork. 31 other teams would have had to file paperwork, like the Dolphins did yesterday. And so everybody was going to be talking about what's this team going to do versus what that team is going to do.
Yeah, I'm okay with that because then it puts it on the individual team. So if a team decides, hey, we're going to let everybody kneel, then they can deal with all that comes with that. Or if a team decides we're coming down hard, like Miami said they were going to do, then they can deal with it. It takes pressure off the NFL and puts it on the individual team. Again, I'm okay with it as long as you come up with the rule, you put it out there, and enforce it. And quit all being all wishy-washy because this is not a nice topic. People are going to be upset about it no matter what. So just stick to something.
Who would be upset if you said, we'll have the national anthem while you're still in the locker room?
People who want to protest because you've taken away their platform.
They would complain about that.
Yes.
The Kaepernicks of the world.
Yes.
Who want to kneel.
Yes. You've taken away our platform, our chance to be on, you know, national or worldwide TV. You've taken it away from us.
Okay. They could be upset. They're going to keep complaining about it. They'll just have to find another way to protest. I still think it's the smart thing.
Exactly.
Which is what they should do anyway, because I don't see what these protests are doing. I mean, if a protest doesn't bring about results, if it doesn't bring about change, then you're just doing it to be doing it. Sorry.
I mean, I don't know what else they could do. I mean, you know.
Other than go out into your community, all this kind
of
stuff.
Some of them are doing that.
Yeah, I know. But it's like every time this thing dies down, one side or the other brings it back up and it comes back up again. You're hurting your bottom line. Some people believe it, some people don't, but you are. So in my opinion, and a lot, ratings are going down for some reason.
Variety of reasons.
A multiple of reasons, but this is part of the reason. Make a rule, stick to it.
So what are they going to do? What are they going to do now?
I don't think they're going to do anything. That's the problem. I think they're going to keep going back and forth, and this controversy is going to continue. It's going to go into the season, and it's just stupid.
I just don't feel that this is that there's a direct correlation to ratings going down. I just don't see that it's about the national
anthem. I know
a
lot of people who have said, I will never watch again. Yeah. So it just depends on what aisle of the politics you're on.
Yeah. NFL ratings are down. That's it. That's a fact. Down 9% in 2017. But guess what? So are all of the other networks, just overall, broadcast networks. NBC is down 19%. Fox down 8%. CBS down
19%.
But you're
saying you don't see a correlation. It has to be part of this.
Yeah, but people are putting all the blame on this anthem protest that the ratings are being driven down because of the anthem protest. Well, what's driving all of the ratings down for everything else? Broadcast TV networks, they lost 16% in 2017. Cable networks lost 11%. The NFL only lost 9%. You would think that if it was the NFL anthem protest that it would drop much more significantly than anything else.
I think we're all in agreement on that it's part of it but not all of it, right? It's part of it.
I don't think Richmond's correct. In there. Okay.
Yeah, you believe that has something to do with
it. It's definitely part of it.
No one said it was all of it. I mean, there are a lot of factors.
There's a narrative out there.
But you cannot say that it's not part of it.
No, I'm with Lonzo on that. I've heard enough people say, you know, I'm done with the NFL because of this stuff. I'm sick of it. I'm not going to watch anymore. I've heard enough people say that I believe it's part of it. But you know what? I mean, yeah, the ratings would be down anyway because of cord cutting and everything that's going on. I don't know what the NFL is going to do. If they don't keep them in the locker room, issue over, I don't know what the solution is.
I don't either.
What else can you do?
And why are they making it so complicated? It's the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. And the easy way to do that is look at the other models that are out there where they don't have the teams on the field during the national anthem. And I don't know why. It seems like we're in the minority that this could be the option. It seems like we've got to come up with some way that, again, will allow them this opportunity to protest and the national anthem. And the easy way to resolve that is just keep them in the locker room.
All right. Diddy coming up, 844-477-3776. We'll get you in with us here in the huddle. Final hour for the week here on Friday afternoon. Be right back on ESPN Upstate. Xander Lombard is going the wrong way at the Open. He is now 4-under, two shots back. So now we have a two-way tie for the lead. It's just Zach Johnson and Kevin Kisner at 6-under par, and they're both finished for the day. So kind of looking like that's what the deal is going to be. I don't think Lombard is going to gain two shots on the final hole. So it's going to be Zach Johnson and Kevin Kisner, your day two leaders today. Projected cut line still at plus +3. So that's bad news for the likes of Sergio Garcia and Hideki Matsuyama at plus +4. So he's not Justin Thomas at plus +4. Not going to make it. That 77 appears to have done Justin Thomas in today. And, of course, some of the other big names that we've been talking about dead in the water for this tournament. Dustin Johnson plus +6. Bubba Watson plus +6. Ernie Els not going to make it at plus +7. But we do have Tiger and Phil for the weekend. When we have Tiger and Phil for the weekend, golf cannot complain. People will have something to watch there. And then, you know, some of the names like Ricky Fowler, pretty close to the top. Spieth, both those guys are at minus -3, so they're in striking distance. Rory's at minus -4. So, a few big names close enough to make it interesting at Carnoustie in Scotland at the Open over the weekend. Diddy is here, Mike Venditti, our blogger and podcaster and resident baseball expert. Diddy, how's it going?
That's me. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. I want to start with baseball, though. I want to start with football. The SEC media making their pick, South Carolina pick second in the East. You know, I wondered if they might give the nod to Florida just because it's Dan Mullen and they think it's a new day there and they don't trust South Carolina. But that's all you can expect for South Carolina. You weren't going to be picked ahead of Georgia, so you like that, huh?
No. Especially after Georgia did what they did last year. So it's tough to see them being kind of jumping over them. But it makes sense because this is a team that has progressed each of the last 2 years under Muschamp into their third season with now experience under the belt with a lot of the young players that were freshmen the last couple of seasons. So you see them, you know, progressing forwards. A lot of the SEC East has been really bad. And even though Florida does get Mullen, they're still, you know, having to kind of retool everything they've done the last handful of years from the Muschamp era through the McElwain era. It just wasn't good. And that team kind of might be in flux for a year or two before he can really get the right recruits and get his program going. So it makes total sense. I would have been a little upset, to be honest, if Florida was above South Carolina just based on a coach hire when you've seen how bad that team has been the last couple of seasons.
We had a texter just ask, Bentley threw for 2,800 yards last year without Debo for 10 games. Do you think he hits over 3,000 yards this season? I do. He better.
He better.
Is not going to be a very good year. He's going to have Debo back, hopefully healthy for the year. The other thing is they're running the up-tempo, so he should get more plays in.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's, you know, you want to hope he's going to get over 3,000 because if not, you're not going forward again this year. You want this team to win more games each season and get better each season. And for that to happen, he's going to have that kind of a season. And having Debo back kind of gives you no excuse to not throw for at least 3,000 yards this season with especially some of the games you have against some of these SEC East opponents that are kind of rebuilding and turning things around and at a lower point in their franchise or their program, excuse me.
Muschamp's a defensive coach, and he had zero players on teams 1, 2, and 3 on the All-SEC defense today.
Yeah.
It can't be him. He can use that for motivation, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, they think we'll finish second, but none of you are good enough.
Right.
I mean, go get them.
DJ Brunson, DJ Wanham. Those guys are not top three unit players
Debo,
in the SEC.
Healthy Debo Samuel.
Well, Debo's on the offensive team. He made it. Okay. He made it. He's first team. He's
so
all
no
good.
No defense.
No defense.
Gotcha.
None.
Well, they have to keep proving themselves. Yeah. And they've only worked their pay grade the last two seasons, really, of what you'd expect from them. But, they still came in with very low expectations, I guess. And maybe it's going to take a little more time to turn the media's thought process on their play.
All right, let's get to baseball. You follow it closely. Machado goes to the Dodgers. That certainly helps the Dodgers. Are they the best team in the National League now?
I mean, you have to put them up there with the other ones that are playing well. It's tough to still say that anybody's the best team out there because we've seen all of these teams that are leading their divisions or in the fight for divisions play both good and bad through this season. The Cubs started off bad. The Dodgers started off horrible. And then you've seen the good teams with the Brewers hanging on, even though it's questionable if they're going to stick with the Cubs. But when you add a guy like Machado to a lineup that's hitting the ball like the Dodgers are right now, that's nothing but good for them. They're just in maybe the toughest division right now as far as fighting against each other. There's four teams in the NL West who have 50-plus wins or 50 or more wins, and they're all within four games of each other right now after the All-Star break. So it's a lot to say that this is necessarily going to help them get through the gauntlet of all of the interdivisional games you end up having down the stretch, but it cannot hurt to have his bat. Just let's see, kind of how it meshes in with the team. We've seen big name dudes go on to teams that were already studly teams and just kind of lay an egg. And I doubt that'll happen with Manny, but you never really know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll watch. But I think they're in great shape with him there. They certainly got better when they made that move.
Oh,
He's a player in his prime here. What do you make of this Manfred deal going on with Mike Trout? It just seemed awkward for the commissioner of baseball to be calling out a player for not doing what it takes, taking the time and effort to become a brand.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways it shows more and more that this league just has no clue how to market it itself. They just don't understand it. And you don't need your best player to be the most personable, outgoing guy for him to be marketable. You use his play and everything he does on the field. That's pretty marketable. He's phenomenal. He's one of those once-in-a-lifetime type talents. But you have guys all over this league from, Mookie Betts and Jesus Aguilar and, Yasiel Puig. And there's all these guys all around the league across the country in all of the markets that are far beyond just being marketable as far as being, ambassadors for the game, being outgoing in the community, being a part of the community. So you don't need Trout. So it seemed like he was making it all about him because he's this kind of pinnacle of the player right now in the league. And it shouldn't have been. And I think that kind of points again to the fact that this league has no idea how they can market themselves and why they should. They really need to do better at it. And there's a lot of guys that are very marketable around this league.
I thought they had a good couple of days with the Home Run Derby in the All-Star game.
I thought it was great.
Went off well, right?
Absolutely. And all the interviews, even though some of them were a little stale, they were pretty good to have that back and forth with a player in the field talking to, Joe Buck and the guys in the booth. So it was really cool to kind of give a different look, and everything seemed to go well because the Home Run Derby was a heck of a lot of fun and came down to the very end with Bryce Harper hitting in the extra time, and then obviously the home runs back-to-back in the 10th inning in the game. So it gave you a lot of really good looks at baseball as far as having fun baseball, home runs that everybody complains when there's not any of those, and a lot of personable players that maybe some people didn't realize were those kinds of guys that are very marketable and are a brand on their own. And, hopefully the MLB sees that and how this week went and says, okay, we don't have to focus just on Trout. Michael Jordan could have been the most soft-spoken, quiet, just to himself dude in the world. And you could have marketed him because he was the best player on the court. That's marketable already.
Mm-hmm.
So just do that with Trout and market the guys who are the outgoing types and use what you have because there's a ton of them in the Major League Baseball.
All right, quickly to the NBA before we let you go. What'd you think of the DeRozan-Kawhi thing?
That was interesting. I think it's kind of funny that Popovich and the Spurs did that because it seemed like they were just kind of sick of it anyway, and he didn't really have any say. So he had to do what he had to do, and now he's mad that he didn't want to go to Toronto. I don't know if it's going to make any difference. I still agree with a lot of people that think he leaves after this year anyway. And then obviously on the flip side with DeRozan just being upset that he was kind of given this future plan, it seems, from the Raptors, and then bam, nope, see you later. Mm-hmm. So it'll be really interesting to see how that goes, especially with Toronto apparently now wanting to cut some cost, cut some salary because of Kawhi's salary. Who are they going to cut? How are they going to even have this team together? What's it going to look like after a team that's been in the playoffs and been one of the top half of the league as far as the Eastern Conference every season the last handful of seasons. It's kind of a jarring move, I think, and I'm surprised with it.
So you wouldn't pick Toronto over Boston in the East right now with Kawhi?
No, not at all. Especially not with Kyrie and Gordon coming back.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Boston's the team to beat, huh?
Yeah, no doubt.
Still, all right.
And then next year, maybe Kawhi goes to Philly, and then they're right there with him probably.
All right. His name is Mike Venditti, at Diddy33 on Twitter, on the website at ESPN Upstate. Well, that's the Twitter. ESPNUpstate.com is the website. So check out his stuff. Diddy, always good to have you check in with us, man. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break and come back with more. Final half hour of The Huddle. If you want to jump on board, got to do it now. 844-477-3776. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. So Larry Fedora managed to make North Carolina and himself a major topic of conversation, which is an accomplishment for a team that won three games last year. Nobody thought to be talking about Larry Fedora at ACC Media Days, right?
He did create some talk tracks, didn't he, and some controversy.
And so last night, the athletic director at North Carolina came to his defense. Of course, if you haven't heard it for some peculiar reason, Larry Fedora has been questioned for saying he doubted the connections between football and CTE. Bubba Cunningham is the North Carolina AD, and he told reporters during a break in the UNC Board of Trustees meeting that the point was poorly communicated. Cunningham said, "I think Larry's really concerned about the health and safety of students, but I don't think that came across all that well. We're lucky to be working in such a great environment where the health and safety of our students is first and foremost. Larry feels that way. Again, it was just poorly communicated yesterday, but he is passionate about protecting these students. He is passionate about the game of football. It just didn't come off very well." We talked about who would light into. Dan Wolkin at USA Today really lit into him and said basically that he should probably be fired. Paul Feinbaum is the next guy to light in on Larry Fedora. Here's some of what the mouth of the South had to say.
"But I don't understand how you can talk about this being bad for the country. I mean, that's just plain stupid. And I really have to wonder, as scary and as sad as those comments are, Bob, how this great university can stand behind someone uttering these type of comments. And I realize everyone has a right to express themselves, but if you're watching at home as a potential recruit to North Carolina, or if you're parent of a child on that team, I'd be thinking seriously about running down to Chapel Hill right now and grabbing my son and saying, 'You're not playing for this guy,' because it's incomprehensible that in 2018, you can make those statements. And listen, I realize you go up and down the dial right now, you're going to hear some equally stupid statements about politics and world peace, but we're talking about college football here."
We're not college football, not world peace. This is important.
This is what drives the country. This is what drives us.
Now Feinbaum has spoken, so now Fedora needs to be fired.
He should probably be fired.
Yeah, because
I don't think the ACC is going to listen to Paul Feinbaum. That's probably not going to happen. Paul might be going a little overboard as well. I said that yesterday. I don't think the guy should be fired.
If Saban had said this, would Feinbaum be saying that?
Everybody thinks that Saban has Feinbaum in his pocket. Is that what you think?
Yes, I do. Okay. So do you think he'd be saying the same thing if Saban said this?
Probably not. I don't know. That's a good question. Saban wouldn't say this. But, the point that Fedora made is not... I wasn't as bothered by the CTE stuff as the country's going to go downhill if football doesn't stay exactly the same comment. That bothered me more. I thought that was the dumber comment. I mean, the CTE science is not settled, really. It's still under discussion, right?
It is. Yeah, I mean, there are different camps out there that talk about what's the true impact of CTE and how do we really know? And because there's really no baseline. That's the problem, because you can't get a baseline. You can't measure the CTE aspect of somebody's brain until after they're deceased. And that's the problem, is that who knows, are people predisposed to this? How many hits does it take to have something like this happen?
As far as the point that bothered you, there are people out there listening right now who live, breathe, eat football. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That is their entire life.
That's a problem.
And No, I agree. But you take football away from them, their life is over.
The country is going to go downhill.
I think those are the people that he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm wondering if what he was really trying to say in the big picture thing is that, just again, as I've talked about in terms of why I started the podcast, it's just how sports can impact somebody's life and the life lessons that you can learn from
sports. Lonzo tried that one on me yesterday.
But there is a lot of life lessons that you can learn that can help prepare you for life.
There's life lessons in everything.
Well, of course there are. But I think that's what he's trying to say. And he's a sports guy.
We're learning one right now that you can't, he's just not buying it.
Yeah. Well, if you're trying to say that there's not life lessons to be learned from sports, then that's just wrong.
I'm not trying to say that. Who's trying to say that? No, but come on. Don't tell me that football can't change and adjust to CTE issues without the country going downhill as a result.
Don't tell me that. It is absurd that he makes that type of generalization.
Maybe Bubba Cunningham's right. Cunningham's right, the AD of North Carolina. Maybe Larry Fedora just doesn't express himself clearly. Maybe his meaning is on point. But the way he said it was a little bizarre.
Well, two of us in this room, I think sometimes when we speak, it doesn't come out the way we want it to.
There's three of us, I'm sure.
You're always smooth.
I know I have trouble. Believe me.
I got that. And he may be right that we won't recognize football in 10 years compared to what it is now. That may, I don't know if 10 years is going to happen, but it's certainly going to change. It's going to change. And, some people will find that sad. But,
and if there's an issue where they truly find out that there's a true health risk with the CTE or whatever it might be, then what's wrong with changing? Just think about
it.
I remember in the 80s, you could smoke on an airplane.
Absolutely.
Right? And somehow society evolved a little bit that, hey, we saw the consequences of smoking. And it was interesting, actually, last night, this is the first time I've seen this ad where it was a court order rule that the tobacco companies have to post this commercial talking about that they added extra nicotine to the tobacco to make it even more addictive.
Yeah.
And that was a court order rule. So my point is that you can evolve and adjust based on health concerns, health issues, without the country deteriorating.
Well, that's right. And, when I said this, the science is not settled on CTE. It does stand to reason that these hits are causing some issues. I think we can pretty much conclude that. John Swofford, the commissioner of ACC, said the connection between football and CTE established by scientists should be respected. It's just there's still some questions to be determined about the extent of it, and some people can argue, and we'll be debating that for years to come, I'm sure, about the exact connection. All that's still being determined. Anyway, I don't think they're going to fire Larry Fedora. I don't think they should fire Larry Fedora. I think he'll probably be a little more careful next time.
I would
about
think so
how
too.
He expresses
now,
this.
They might fire Fedora based on wins and losses.
If he wins three games, they'll fire him.
Exactly, but not necessarily on these comments, not right now.
All right, final break. Come back, wrap it up here in the huddle in a moment on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to the huddle. Cardinals lead the Cubs top of the fourth inning in an afternoon baseball game. 5-1, top of the fourth on that one. Atlanta's playing Washington. That's a pretty big series opening up tonight. In D.C., 7:05, first pitch for that. Got the Mets and the Yankees coming up tonight. I was talking to Diddy as he left the room during the commercial break earlier about who the Cardinals might choose as their permanent new manager. Now that they fired Mike Matheny after a pretty sluggish first half of this season. And some of the candidates who've been named out there. One was Joe Girardi. Wouldn't mind that. Wouldn't mind Joe Girardi.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't. That would be...
I could deal with that.
That would be a name, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a name, but a good manager, too. I mean, knows baseball. I think he would be very successful there. He's talking about wanting to spend more time with his family. I don't know if Girardi's a real candidate. Jose Oquendo, part of the Cardinals organization for a long time. He played from the mid-'80s to the mid-'90s, then went into coaching, and he'll probably be part of the staff, whether he's the manager or not. I don't know about that one, but not terrible. Terrible is Mark McGuire.
Yeah. So why is that terrible?
What is Mark McGuire? No. I don't know that he... I know he was the bench coach of... He is the bench coach now for the Padres. I mean, he could be a hitting coach. He was a hitting coach for the Cardinals. I'm just looking at his...
I was going to say, it's disrespectful while he's looking,
looking over
at
my
you.
Shoulder yeah. right now. We have a big cutout of Mark McGuire behind us. Why? You don't think they should put Mark McGuire in there?
Well, I don't think so, just based on... It's just he got enough experience.
Well, yeah, he's just a name, you know, that people know. That would be the reason to get headlines.
Well, how about him being the guy to get you to your next guy?
We got a guy like that. Schilt? We don't need Mark McGuire. We got Schilt.
Mark McGuire is the only guy I know other than Girardi.
That what?
Molina, I know.
Yadier Molina. You know, that makes sense. A catcher, you know, he's used to working with the pitchers and all that. But no, I don't. I mean, he's...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.